I wonder if you can hear the rain. I mean, a little bit, yeah. Not that it matters, but...
I don't think anybody's like, wait a minute! This podcast sucks! There's rain in the background!
Okay, I'm gonna start. Hello, everyone, and... Did my voice crack?
Hello, everyone! My okay. Name is Sydney!
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
If you missed our last episode, you missed a pretty big announcement. We're doing our first ever giveaway. Homage.com sent us three t-shirts featuring Luka Doncic, and we're giving all three of them away to you guys. It's really easy to enter the giveaway. Just go to DallasHoopsCast.com/homage, H-O-M-A-G-E. And you just enter your email address and you're entered. And there's three t-shirts, so we're going to have three winners. So go to DallasHoopsCast.com/homage to enter. You can actually buy these t-shirts on homage.com. If you use the code DallasHoops20, you get 20% off your order. And that's in addition to any sales they might have going on. So shop homage.com, DallasHoops20 to get 20% off and enter the giveaway at DallasHoopsCast.com/homage.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited about the giveaway.
For a podcast that prides itself on not having ads. That sure sounded like an ad.
The only way I would do it is if they gave us something that we could give to people for free.
All right.
Because I feel like, okay, you're giving me something we can give
principles
to our listeners.
Okay.
That sounds fair that I would give you a shout out.
We're
so,
abandoning our principles.
But let's get started with breaking down this game.
Yeah, boring.
It wasn't really like a fun game to watch. And I think because Luka was, you know, he wasn't Luka. I think he was bored as well.
Yeah, I think it was more of a game where it was take care of business.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a, hey, this is a high-profile opponent. It's going to be a big game. It means a lot in the standings. It was like, no, we got to take care of business tonight. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, yeah. They didn't sit their two stars, and they lose for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Luka was either disinterested, or you talked about how he might just be kind of tired.
I think he's just emotionally spent. I mean, he had Denver... Clippers, Blazers, which in all five games, he played monster games. Like, he was a monster in all of them.
37 points, 38 points, 42 points. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a monster, and it took a lot out of him. And I'm glad that he wasn't expected, or the Mavericks his teammates didn't expect him to have to come out and drop 35 again for them to win. That would have been a bad sign. So it's great that they were able to win by the margin that they did with him really not being involved. In fact, I thought they could have just not even played him the fourth quarter. I was a little surprised to see him come back in. I don't understand that decision.
As much as I talk about
rest. Yes. He only played like 28 minutes, but I just felt like that was an additional 4 minutes. You could have just not played him.
Yeah.
You had a comfortable lead. I did, and then they left him in for a little bit. Like, it was over
even longer.
Yeah. I thought that was a little strange, but it is what it is. He didn't really have to do much to win. I thought that was a great sign, and it was good for him to kind of take a night off.
Yeah, I think, like you've talked before about how he needs something to kind of get him going. Otherwise,
and
he just gets bored.
And a 10-32 team.
Yeah, Minnesota. He didn't get his pregame nap because his smoke detector was raining. So, it wasn't like a fun Luka game, but Kristaps had an amazing game. You know, the thing is, Kristaps' game, his style isn't very exciting, so it's not things that you get up for, like, ooh, a post fadeaway, you know, but he had a good game nonetheless.
It was very efficient tonight. 11 to 23. It's still 48%. I guess I thought it was better than that. I don't know why I thought that, but he had a good game. I guess Porzingis can be exciting when he's shooting from like 35 feet.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does that and it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Like I remember specifically last year against Milwaukee where he had back-to-back logo threes. It was pretty nasty. So is he as exciting as Luka? Of course not. But
at this point, it's exciting when he has a good game.
Yeah. Oh, that hurts, you know?
Is that too harsh?
No,
I don't mean that as, like, Kristaps sucks. I didn't mean it that way. What I meant was there's been so much of this whole Luka and Kristaps and what is he thinking and what's his mood. And so when he has a big game, it's like, yes.
This was a game for him to carry the load offensively. Yeah. And I thought that was nice where Luka didn't have to do that. And he came out and carried the offense, kept them in the game mm-hmm. whenever the Mavericks weren't really playing that well. And they ended up running away with it. It went exactly as I thought it was going to go. I thought the game was going to be where the Timberwolves were putting on a fight, and the game was close for a while. The Mavs look a little sluggish, and then they eventually pull away and destroy them. And that's exactly how it played out. And that's what you really wanted to see. In my opinion, that's what I wanted to see, just to see, has this team actually are they growing?
Yeah.
You know, are they making these adjustments? Are they learning from their past mistakes? And are they actually going to be a good team?
Well, that was one thing that we were talking about, or that I said during the game, is like, it was still kind of one of those games where they had to grind it out. And I've said that a few times in the past few weeks, that they've been better at doing that. Because, I mean, yeah, it was Minnesota. Minnesota's not a great team, but they got off to a slow start. It wasn't going their way. They were missing a lot of shots. They got down early. They easily could have just said, you know what, like, this just, I don't care. This isn't our night. But instead, they came together, and they had a grind-out game, and they won.
Well, I thought when they came out at halftime and Minnesota went on a 7-0 run mm-hmm. and they called a timeout, I think at that moment the players are like, we can't do this. We can't allow the Timberwolves to stay around. We can't not play defense. We can't not play with force. And ever since then, when they came out of that timeout, they were focused. They mm-hmm. were playing hard defense. They were playing well together. And I thought that timeout was important, because sometimes when you are playing a team that sucks, like Minnesota, it's really hard to get the juices going, especially when you just had 5 games in a row against playoff tough caliber opponents, game 7 type of games. And then you get Minnesota. So sometimes that you do have to grind
it's
those
a
out.
Trap game.
But I love that they had the basketball maturity. And if you guys mm-hmm. can hear a haze in the background, it's because there's a tornado outside. But they had the basketball maturity to put the game away.
Yeah. I do want to talk about Kristaps a little more, just because
he deserves it.
And he really did a lot of everything tonight. He was posting up. He was hitting his post-up shots. He had some three-pointers. He had a deep three-pointer. He had a few dunks, putbacks, alley-oops. Like, he really did a lot of everything tonight. And like you said, he was super efficient. He hasn't been great in the post really, like, ever. But tonight, he was good, and it was going in. I thought just having that mentality of staying focused, because, again, like, I don't think Luka was into this game at all. And so for Kristaps to lead the team, that was super important, and it was good to see.
Well, it's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, Luka carried you in those 5 games, and Porzingis didn't really show up to do anything, mm-hmm. with all due respect.
He had 11 points in both games.
And Luka carried them, and now you're going against Minnesota. Luka's off, mm-hmm. so why don't you take it upon yourself?
He needs you.
And he did that, and I appreciate that. And that's kind of what you need him to do, to be the second star when Luka doesn't have it. He can't. You can't a good team doesn't have a guy averaging 35 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like,
it's fun, but
yeah, typically those teams don't win anything. Yeah. Even, you know, so I don't know. I thought it was good. I saw what I wanted to see from Porzingis. I hope they can get a little bit more of that in these next couple of weeks, where they have some of these easier opponents, help mm-hmm. get him into some kind of rhythm, and he can carry the load offensively a little bit.
Well, like you said, that's why you have a second star, so that one guy doesn't have to do it every night. So that if he is having an off night, the other guy can step up, and that's exactly what Kristaps
did
tonight.
And tonight you got second star Porzingis, not role player Porzingis.
And I also noticed that Kristaps does a really good job of moving the ball, and he talks about this a lot in his post-game interviews. He talked about it again whenever Fox Sports Southwest interviewed him right after the game. He talked about ball movement and how important it is, and getting guys involved, and that's when the team gets going. And he does a good job of that. Like, when he gets the ball, we talk a lot about how he, you know, demands the ball and he wants to get in his spot, and we're not always happy about that. But one thing he is good at doing is, like, he's not selfish about it. Like, once he gets it, it's not just that he wants to shoot it. He'll move it on to the open guy. And tonight he had 4 assists.
I thought he did that tonight.
I don't know.
Like, he does that from time to time, but part of when he's having a bad game, it's like when he has a good game, he does everything the right way.
Yeah.
And then when he has a bad game, it's like all the good things that he did, he didn't do. He didn't move. He didn't pass out of the post. He didn't protect the rim. And tonight he did those things. And you and these are the games that are frustrating because you're like, dude, you're good. Like, you can do this.
Well, against Minnesota, he can do this.
But he shows the ability to do it. And then some games, some opponents, he just doesn't do. He doesn't move. He doesn't pass out of the post. He doesn't protect the rim. It's very frustrating. It's an emotional roller coaster with him, and I'm exhausted.
I do feel, though, that he is good at moving the ball along. He doesn't always get the assists, but I notice that when he gets it, he's willing to pass out.
Yeah, I like how he made a concerted effort, because one of the downsides of playing a post-up player, and Carlisle talks about it, is the ball stops moving.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of their hands in their pockets sitting there watching him. And if he can move the ball around when he's getting, then Carlisle might be more willing to give him the ball in the post. I doubt it. I think every time Porzingis posts up, Carlisle wants to break something.
Dies inside.
Yes. And so it's good that he does that, and he's shown the ability to do that. I think it's probably easier for him to do that against a team like Minnesota, where he can dominate because he is just so much better. But, you know, teams that are better and better defensively, a better coached, where they can kind of bother him and get him out of his rhythm, like the Blazers did and the Clippers can do, he struggles a little bit with that. Now, he's still very valuable being out on the floor because he's demanding so much attention just by him being out there. It opens it up for his teammates. If only he could see it that way. But in this case, in this game, Minnesota's not very good. They're not very well coached. No disrespect, but they're just not. And he was able to dominate.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that in his post-game interviews a lot, he talks about ball movement and getting everybody involved. And it's interesting to me because I know that, at least from what we can tell and just about every other person watching the games, that he does want more shots. And so, but at the same time, I feel like he understands, like, he wants more shots because he's open or he feels like he should get them. But he's not saying that he wants to take every single shot, because clearly he values ball movement. He values getting everyone involved. And even when he gets the ball, he moves it along.
I'm such a cynic. Like, I feel like those are cheap shots.
At Luka?
Yes.
Yeah, it's there if you want to take that, but
he said that several times.
Yeah, yeah.
And he always says it when the Mavericks win and he has a big night. He's like, we'll see what happens if we actually, that may not be where he's coming from, but based on everything that has happened between the Mavericks and Porzingis, when he says something like that, to me it comes off as a cheap shot. Like, okay, were you demanding ball movement against the Blazers? Like, or were you happy that Luka won the game for you? Like, sometimes role players just don't make shots. You're one of them. And against the Blazers, you didn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think it's, you could take it that way. Like,
I take it that way, but that's probably not how he intended it.
I mean,
it.
When he first said it, the first time in his first interview, I don't know when that was, a few weeks ago, and then when he said it tonight, my immediate reaction was that, because I know, I mean, Luka dominates the ball, but it's funny because he does actually pass it, but I don't know. So maybe he doesn't mean it that way. Maybe he's saying Luka does do that, and we're just reading into it.
Well, the last time he said it, Luka sat.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And the Mavericks won. They beat. Yeah. And they only scored 89 points. Yeah. But they beat, I think it was Memphis.
Okay.
Because Memphis only scored 73, and Luka sat, and the Mavericks scored 89, and he had like 20-something points. Yeah. And he was like, see, ball movement. And it's just like, well, dude, you scored 89 points. Yeah. So it's not like you went out there and dominated. Now, defensively, you were good, but yeah, I don't know if that's what it is. But when he says stuff like that, it bothers me, because it's like, who are you to say ball movement? Like, you get the ball and then you miss. So, you know, what more do you want the Mavericks to do for you?
That was my first reaction to it, too.
But you were trying to keep it positive.
Well, I just, you know, like, I don't know what he's thinking. And it's possible that he just means it as, like, that's their system. Their system really relies on ball movement. And so he's just saying, yeah, we got to move the ball. He's not saying that we don't do that. He's just saying, this is why we do it.
He said some weird things before.
Yeah.
Like one time, and it was like befuddling. He said, yes.
That was a nice word, Martin.
Yep, there you go. I got it from NBA Street.
Oh, okay.
The game. You never played it. No. Yeah, before your time. Okay.
It was before my time.
Anyways, back to my point. He said one time when the ball is being shared offensively, it motivates his defense.
It motivates his defense?
Or the team's defense.
Okay.
And first of all, that's completely backwards. But this was right around the time there was a lot of complaints about his lack of defensive effort.
Oh.
And this was actually after the Memphis game, I believe.
Okay.
And the Mavericks had a great defensive effort. He looked good. And he was talking about ball movement. And then when everybody's getting involved, that he thinks that it motivates them defensively. It was almost like, if you feed me the ball,
yeah,
I will try hard for you on defense.
I do remember that.
And yeah, that's not quite what he said, but that's what I read from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, there ain't a coach out there that's going to tell you that if you play good offense, it'll feed your defense.
It's the other way around.
Yes. You play good defense, it feeds your offense. So yeah, it was so backwards, but it was just around all the noise that was going on with Porzingis at the time.
Yeah, no, I got you. I mean, we do this a lot. Like, we read into everything he says and does and every facial expression. And to me, I don't think we're crazy.
Like, no.
To me, I think it's all there. And,
yeah,
you know, I have seen multiple episodes of CSI. Okay. We watched like all four seasons of that show, Lie to Me.
Okay. There was only like three seasons and we stopped watching.
I think
it
there
after
was
season
four,
two.
But we didn't watch season four because it started really sucking in season three. That was all about body language and what a person is saying with their body
language.
We're
losing everything that we just said, all the credibility is just gone.
I'm just saying, I have seen a lot of television, and when I watch Kristaps Porzingis, he's the textbook of what we're reading into, of what his actionables, what he's not saying, what he is saying, but what he's not saying.
All right.
Did I express that correctly?
Yes.
So anyways, I don't think we're crazy. I think we're totally right. But, you know, we're reading into a lot of stuff. But he had a good game tonight. So that was
good
great
for him.
And they won because of him. I mean, I think it's safe to say that they won because of Luka.
Well, he was a big part of it.
I almost said Luka.
You're so used to it.
Yeah. Luka only had 15 points. Josh Richardson had 10. You know what? I'm done talking about this game. I want to talk about the trade deadline.
Oh, okay. Poor Dwight Powell.
Well, you know what? It was a boring game.
I just want to mention one thing.
Okay.
So I think, San Antonio lost tonight.
Yeah,
so the Mavericks are officially in seventh.
Yep.
So, and woo-hoo, Portland plays tomorrow against the Heat in Miami. So if they lose that game, the Mavericks will only be a game behind sixth. Denver also lost tonight. Whereas all these other teams, like in their last 10, they're 6-4, 5-5 between the Blazers and the Spurs. The Mavs are 7-3. So if they keep that pace going, eventually they'll catch these guys. Anyways, trade deadline.
Mavericks
are doing nothing. Donnie's blowing a lot of smoke.
I want to pause first
for station identification.
No, I just want to thank everyone for the reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts. We're on the road to 30 reviews.
Thanks,
and
Mom.
We're going to get there. So thank you for all the reviews. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can get to 30 at some point. I don't know. We're close. But thank you guys for your support. Okay, I want to talk about the trade deadline because, you know, it's going to be exciting. Okay, so Donnie Nelson did half a billion interviews today.
And said the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he gets, you know, that's from.
He does.
Yeah.
So I actually haven't listened to him on the Step Back yet. I want to listen to that. He was on that podcast, but he was on The Ticket and The Fan today. And he did kind of say the same thing. And honestly, it's not like he can say a lot. Like, he's not going to say what they're actually doing. But there were a few little tidbits that I thought we could, you know, misinterpret and read way too much into and then just talk about it and then freak out, because I feel like that's kind of just what we do.
So are you going to talk about what he said? Because,
yeah.
Okay.
What? Because what?
He said a lot of things.
Well, I mean, we're not going to say talk about every single sentence.
He said a lot of things.
Yeah.
This is what I heard.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
No, no, no. That was part of it. But I heard we don't have any assets. We don't have any players that anybody wants.
Basically.
So we're not going to make any trades. Now, what he said was, we love this team. We love these guys. You got to give up good players to get good players. We're not willing to do that.
We don't have any good players.
So they sold the players that he have. But what I heard was, nobody wants our guys.
Yeah. He talked a lot about their young core. They're four core guys.
Which was very confusing to me, because at that particular moment, he was talking about the rookies.
Yeah. Well, and so we were trying to count, like, okay, Luka, Kristaps, and then we realized he was talking about Josh Green, Tyler Bay, Nate Hinton, and Tyrell Terry. That's their four core of rookies. Young guys.
Yes. I think that's what we came to the conclusion of. Okay.
So, yeah, he talked a lot about the young guys, a lot about Tyler Bay, you know, what he can be in this league, and Tyrell Terry shooting and all that stuff. You had a theory about why he was doing that.
Well, he's just selling them.
You think he's trying to, like, hype them up?
Yeah, for another team.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We don't have young cores. We got Nate Hinton.
Didn't you see him in the G League?
Yeah. We got Tyler Bay.
Yeah.
These guys are good. Give us John Collins.
Yeah.
I look, he said a lot of things. First, it was really weird. And then somebody tweeted that reminded me of what his dad used to say around trade season. Instead of a GM is talking around trade season, he's lying.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I love Donnie, but I don't think anybody really believed anything that he was saying.
Well, I mean, again, he can't say anything. Like,
why even do an interview then?
Well, because, you know, it's for the fans. It's either for the fans or for the teams that he's talking to. I think, you know, even though I knew he's not going to say anything substantial, I still wanted to listen to every word of it because it's Donnie Nelson.
He might leak something.
I kind of just want to see what they're thinking. So, yeah, they talked about the young guys and we were like, maybe they're trying to hype them up for, you know, trade value. Or it's possible he was just trying to hype them up to sell tickets to Texas Legends games.
Well, yeah, because he mentioned the Texas Legends like 50 times.
So much. Like, you can go and see these guys and get autographs and meet the players, which actually sounds really cool. And that's a little enticing. But he talked about that a lot. So maybe it was just like hyping up the Texas Legends. I don't know.
Well, I thought it was a twofold thing. By saying, we like our guys, we're probably not going to do anything. It's taking away any type of anticipation from the fans. So, they must really like these guys. When in reality, no.
Yeah.
They're also selling them to these other teams. Yeah. Like, you know, we're not willing to part from these guys. And then you have this rando article about how the Mavericks could have landed. Who was it that they could have landed?
They were talking about how Evan Fournier.
Yes,
and
but the Mavericks weren't willing to give up one of their
key nine
though they only play eight players. Yeah. And so I'm just like, okay, all of this is saying they're basically putting out to the Mavs fans, we value our guys.
Yeah, we like
you
this
should
team.
Too. If we think they're good, you should think they're good.
Yeah.
That way when they don't make a move, we're like, yeah, but Maxie.
Yeah.
But Dorian. But all these Dorian. Guys are good. And I don't want to trade them, even though I could get better.
I don't want to trade them.
That's what they're doing to you. See how your mind works? So to me, that's what it was. It was just, they don't have any players to give.
Yeah, I think that's kind of part of it, is like, you do kind of have to temper fan expectations a little bit, because they don't have any assets. Really.
And everybody wants them to make a big splash.
Yeah, like he was saying how they're trying to get a bunch of a few A players
with second round
in
picks.
Exchange for a few second round picks, because I guess that's really the only assets they have. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they would work with to get anybody. Now, I've said I think they could get Andre Drummond. I think he is so available that if they wanted him, they could get him for whatever.
I just hope
but
the
I don't
Mavericks
think they want him.
Are the idiot team that trades for him.
You hope they are?
I hope they're not.
Oh, okay. Okay,
okay, so that reminds me, and I know we're kind of going all over the place now, the random Dwight Powell starting over Dorian tonight. What in the world did that mean?
Maybe they just liked the matchup.
Against the Timberwolves? We changed our starting lineup to fit the Timberwolves? Like, I don't think that was it.
What's
I have a personal
theory. Martin has
personal
a theory.
Theory. Cuban loves guys that suck.
Okay.
Andre Drummond is a Cuban guy. It's got I can see Cuban. Because
he's a big name.
Yes, big name, big numbers. And Donnie and Rick are like, Mark, no. Remember Rondo? Yeah. No. And he's like, no, we can't play KP at the four. Try it. Just try it.
We can't play. You can't play Kristaps with a center like Andre.
Yeah, we'll try it. Start Dwight because we started them last year together in the start of the season. Yeah. Let's see what it looks like. Okay, Mark, I'll try it. Put him in there. Mavs go down 13-3. Right back to the starting lineup. See, I told you. You cannot play KP at the four and Dwight and a center at the five. Hopefully that prevents Cuban from trading Luka Doncic for Andre Drummond. But who knows?
That's your theory.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
I mean, zero proof of this.
We don't
this
have
is
any
just my experience with
sauces.
Cuban in the past.
Yeah, but I think they could have him if they wanted to. But I think
any team could, and nobody wants him.
That's why I think that's why I think the Mavs don't have him, because they don't want him. Because I'm almost certain that they could have him for whatever.
Nobody wants to trade for him.
Yeah, they would rather get him as a buyout or on the waiver wire.
And then it's like, well, at that point, he's going to the Lakers, which is what everybody says.
Well, while he's on the waiver wire, anybody can bid for him that has cap space.
Okay, well, fine. You know, whatever. Maybe we'll get him then. But to me, trading for him makes no sense. He's not going to do anything for this team.
Yeah.
He just isn't, you know. So let's just move on from the Drummond thing. I know a lot of people want Drummond, and if you just go watch him play, like, don't just watch highlights, because when you watch highlights, he looks like a god.
It's highlights.
Yeah, they're highlights. Go watch lowlights, which is the rest of the game. You'll see he cannot play basketball.
My thing with Drummond, the conclusion that I've come to, since I know that a lot of people really want him, and, you know, I don't know everything. I know most everything, but I don't know, like, everything. But
yeah.
I'm like, okay, it's a low-risk move. Yeah, it's a low-risk move. I think that it wouldn't work. But you know what? Maybe it would. And it's such a low-risk move. If you want to do it just to give it a shot, like, I would be okay with that. I have a hypothesis of how I think it would go. But hey, I mean, sure, let's try it.
So I agree 100% on that, except not with Andre Drummond.
I agree
with that. On Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
I would rather do that. Yes. I would rather the whole plan of low risk, high reward type
potentially,
of. I would rather do that with Victor Oladipo, not Andre Drummond.
You think he fits better? I think he probably fits
better.
Well,
he's a basketball player, at least. You know, he's got some skill. He's been good in the past.
Yeah.
I know he hasn't been that same player, but the Mavericks are one of the best teams at reviving. Look at Monte Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
If Monte Ellis can thrive in this system, perhaps Victor Oladipo can too. Maybe he'll never be that player he used to be, but maybe he can be a guy that can get you 15 to 20 points in, you know, average 18 points a game.
Well, especially in Carlisle's system, it really favors guards.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're more likely to get the high reward part of a low risk, high reward guy from a guard like Oladipo than you are Drummond.
Yeah. And I'm not expecting him to turn into old Oladipo.
No.
But I think he deserves to find a home where he can revive his
beautiful.
Okay. Where he can revive his career a little bit and show that he actually can play basketball. He's not really given that opportunity in Houston. I know he's getting minutes. That's not the point. Houston sucks.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any players. Put him in a system that can feature what he's good at, you know, which is slashing and getting into the lane. And if he's got he's on a team that spaces the floor
and
a little
where he's not the number one guy.
Yeah, he's really just a guy. I think he can really thrive in that role. And if it doesn't work, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, you have all this money off the books anyways. It's not going to hurt anything. And I feel like it would be such a low asking price for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Mavs have been tied to pretty much every guy that is available. Like, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I've heard his name tied to Oladipo, but Andre Drummond, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon,
John
Norman Powell, John Collins. they've been linked to all these guys, Kyle Lowry.
Oh, God.
But I think in the end, they just don't have the pieces to get those guys. So
yeah.
I think they were linked to them because they probably called and had the conversation, but we haven't heard anything new because the conversation went, well, we have second round picks. And they were like, that's not enough.
I think their most valuable trade assets outside of Porzingis would be Maxi Kleber and Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And
is that enough to get a significantly better player? I don't know. I don't think
so. It would have to be if you're going to trade them. Because Maxi does have a lot of value.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't get a lot of points, but you're not trading him for points. You're trading him to do exactly what he does for the Mavericks. Be a versatile defender and be a knockdown shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Maxi's got a lot of value, I think. Underrated value.
I agree with that.
And Jalen, for a team that maybe is looking for a point guard for their future, might want to give him a chance. Yeah. You know, so the Knicks.
The Magic.
they tried with Dennis Smith. Yeah, well, the Magic, you know, but I don't want Aaron Gordon. I've been high on Aaron Gordon in the past, but
I'm surprised because I know you've wanted him in the past.
Yes, I like his game sometimes, but it's not even about his game. It's about his off-the-court antics. Like, for him to go to the front office and request a trade because they haven't put a good team out. It's like, dude, you ain't that kind of player.
I know. It was weird. When I first heard Aaron Gordon has requested a trade, I was like, what?
Role players can do that?
Yeah, I was like, he's not really that kind of player.
No,
he's gotten worse every year.
And the reason he requested, if he requested a trade, say, hey, it's just not working out for me here.
Yeah.
I'd like to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. I can understand that. But to say we constantly lose.
Yeah, the losses. It's you're part of the reason we lose.
You're not the guy
to
say that to me. So,
I mean, part of the reason they lose is because of him, because he's not as good as... He didn't develop
the way they had anticipated.
Yeah, no, I still have a lot of respect for Aaron Gordon. I don't think he's a trash player. In fact, I think I would like him on the Mavs.
I think he's better than Dorian.
Yeah, but just in the context of what you're saying, it's just weird that he would demand a trade and say it's because we're losing, because I feel like he hasn't lived up to the hype, and he needs to be more like a role player. Well,
and those are reserved for stars.
Yeah, it was just weird.
And so does he view himself on that level? And if he does, I don't want any part of that. I want guys that recognize their role.
Who they are.
And who they are. And we're still working on our own team right now to get them to figure that out.
Another thing I took issue with that Donnie Nelson said was that you know, they value continuity, and
so stupid.
The thing is, when you bring in a new guy, you got to integrate him into the system, and that can cause its own challenges, and they don't want to mess up, you know, any kind of rhythm that they have. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you're the eighth seed. It's not like, what are you going to ruin? Because you're not making it to the finals. You're not winning a championship. Like, I agree that they have built some continuity, and they really come together as this year has progressed. They've come together to play better as a team. All of that is totally true, and I get that, and it's happened, and it's worked out well for them. But I don't think that it's worked so well that we need to be like, we don't want to ruin this. Because it's like,
you're not the number one
seed.
What
are you ruining?
You're the number eight seed.
At this point, it would be an improvement, you know? So that, I was a little bit like, I mean, I don't know if we need to go so strongly with that mindset, but...
Again, what I think it comes down to is they don't have any assets, any players that anybody really wants. And the players that teams would want, Jalen and Maxi, they're probably not getting any offers that move the needle for the Mavericks.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to give up Jalen and Maxi for nothing.
No.
They would have to be a pretty significant piece for the Mavericks. And I don't think that's out there. And if they do something, fine. I don't really care.
We're just predicting that they won't.
Yeah.
I mean, we might be wrong. I would rather be wrong.
The fact that they're selling it as, hey, we like our guys. We're going to keep this team continuity. We got four young players. We do?
That are great in the G League. And I think they might also be thinking, since they have so much cap space this summer, that's their big move. Like, that's their big chance to improve the team. Well, you know, we were looking at contracts today and stuff. We realized Luka is going to sign his max extension this summer, and it'll kick in not the following season, not next season, but the season after that. And so next summer, they won't, all of this cap space they've had all this past decade, Yeah, that whole thing is going to end because they're going to have Luka making $30 million a year. And if they keep Kristaps, that's a second max contract. So the whole cap space game, at least in theory, it won't be able to continue after this summer. So this summer is really crucial for them. They're going to have to get
assets.
Yeah, like they're facing a crucial pivoting point. Whether they get the second star or just get assets they can use in trades or just to build a team.
Yeah, to me, I just want them to sign the best available players.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they work, great. If they don't, you have good assets that you can trade for somebody else and get the guy that you're actually trying to get. That's been their problem this whole 10 years is they refuse to get assets, so they have no assets to trade.
All they could ever do was free agency.
Yeah, the one time they had an asset, they made a trade, and that was with Dennis Smith Jr. because he was a number 9 overall pick, had a lot of potential.
And Matthews
and Jordan. And all the expiring contracts. Yeah, and Knicks it was a perfect scenario. Like, if they're looking for that scenario again of the expiring contracts, it was a perfect scenario. New York literally thought they were going to sign two max guys, so they wanted the cap space. No other team is going to think that.
Yeah.
So it just worked out perfectly. It was a miracle trade. Plus, you were dealing with a dumb front offense. Office.
And Donnie Nelson is a genius when it comes to trades. And
he stole from them. Yeah. Like, poor Porzingis. So, anyways, what are we running at time here?
Because I feel like we're... That's my final point, is that I don't think they're going to do anything with trades because I think they're still... They've got a lot of cap space this summer.
They just will not sacrifice cap space.
Yeah, but the thing is, this summer they... In my opinion, they really are going to have to
sign people.
Like, this is a big moment for them because once Lucas signs his max extension, they're going to have two max contracts, and that's a whole new game.
Yep.
Like, that's a whole new game after that. And so this is really a crucial summer. If they don't do anything at the trade deadline, they're putting it all on the summer, and, you know, we'll see what they do with it. That was a great ending, if I do say so myself. I think we wrapped that up nicely.
Well, it was great until you started saying all this stuff.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. Enter the giveaway, DallasHoopsCast.com/homage, H-O-M-A-G-E. 3 t-shirts, 3 chances to win. Thank you for your support. Hopefully this is a way we can show our appreciation. Is there anything you would like to say, Martin, to end?
No.
Okay. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.